Welcome to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Christine Schaffner, and I'm so excited to share with you my conversation with Jana Danielson, the inventor of Cooch Ball. And we're going to be talking all about inspired solutions for your body posture, your breathing, and your blood flow. So enjoy our podcast together. And please wait till the end. Jana has a really special gift for you to get started today. Have a beautiful day. So welcome, Jana. It's an honor to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Dr. Christine. I'm excited for this conversation we're going to have today.
Yeah, you know, so many people might have heard of your work already, and they might have seen, you know, Cooch Ball online or through other platforms. And, you know, let's just unpack how you got to get inspired to create such an adaptable tool to help people with their, you know, body, their blood flow, and their breathing.
Yeah. You know, at 21 years old, I found myself on 11 different medications for undiagnosed digestive pain, went through a 2-year journey of, you know, being poked and prodded and drinking yucky things to try and find that magical pot at the end of the rainbow, which would I thought was the diagnosis. Because I believed that as soon as I got that word or phrase of what I had, what was causing my pain, then I could heal. And that never actually came for me. And in my pain that started digestively, anybody that's been in pain for any, you know, period of time, you know that the body gets engulfed in this pain. And at 21 years old, I found myself with pelvic floor pain and being really confused by that because I thought pelvic floor issues were only, you know, only women that just had a baby or were in menopause dealt with. I didn't think that a 21-year-old, you know, that had never had a baby that was active, why was I having so much pain? And so I actually found Pilates after my medical team told me that they believed that my pain was in my head and I was seeking attention. Yeah. And 16 weeks after my first Pilates class, I didn't understand why or how I was off all 11 medications. My body did not hurt anymore. And I still had a hard time believing that this form of movement that focused on breathing, spinal, you know, alignment, posture, could actually heal where all this medication could not. And that really was like the pivot for me in my life from a corporate, you know, career path to wellness entrepreneurship and really wanting to understand how does the body heal with something as simple as movement and breath. And who were the people in my community that I could connect to that also believed that the body had an innate ability to heal? It just sometimes needs the right support and an understanding.
Yeah, no, we're very aligned in, you know, that philosophy. I see a lot of patients who have, you know, very much multivariable, multisystemic, you know, chronic illness. And I love your point that you thought you were going to get a diagnosis and then everything was going to be fine and then you'd have the treatment. You know, that happens. People in my community are often on that journey. If they can just get the diagnosis and then they can get the treatment. And, you know, where the paradigm is shifting is really this idea that the body is innately intelligent. We have regulation through our autonomic nervous system and through the fascia. And, you know, when that system is happy and moving, you know, that's where, you know, healing happens. And, you know, I feel like very much my job is like facilitating the removal of the obstacles in the way. And, you know, what a profound insight to have at such a young age. So let's just get into it. So yeah. You, Pilates, so you were did you become a Pilates instructor?
Yeah, after that? Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know what? I was in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan at the time, a small city in the prairies of Canada. And I mean, Pilates was not very well known at all. And you know how the universe kind of puts things in your way, like when the student is ready, the teacher appeared. And there was a woman from Phoenix that was coming to my little city of all the places to do her Pilates mat and comprehensive certification. And I said yes, only to learn for myself at that point. Then once I got certified, I thought, hey, well, I should share this knowledge with others. So I started, my friends and family would come twice a night or twice a week. And then my husband was like, hey, Jan, if I got a couple of my buddies, could you do like a guy's class? And so twice a week, I started doing Pilates with Jason and his buddies. And, you know, 4 classes turned into 8, into 16. And then we invested into some Pilates equipment. And it is literally the rest is history. We moved out of our home. I taught, you know, Pilates out of our basement for about 2 years. and moved into a small studio space in 2010, expanded to a 9,000 square foot facility in 2015, which included Pilates as the movement therapy. And then I opened an integrated health therapies clinic with everything from naturopathic medicine to, you know, Reiki, reflexology, mental health, chiro, physio, massage, acupuncture, and found people that believed like me that the body is an integrated, you know, system of systems. And when one is being, you know, kind of lagging or dragged down, it's going to impact the other. So I had this beautiful team of 60 clinicians, administrators, and instructors that worked on, you know, the tens of thousands of people that walk through our doors every day. And I was at a Pilates conference in 2014, and I heard a urogynecologist speak about his research on pelvic floor health. And the stat that he shared from his research was that 90% of pelvic floor dysfunction truly is not rooted in a medical diagnosis, but rather in poor breathing mechanics, poor posture, and poor pelvic floor fitness. And it was kind of like my world stopped in that moment, because I realized that if there were 10 women sitting in a waiting room waiting for pelvic floor surgery, I, as a Pilates instructor, could actually impact 9 of them in a positive way to maybe find a new path forward to heal and improve that function of their pelvic floor. So at that point, I got this, you know, this fire was lit under me. And I just started learning as much as I could about the pelvic floor in relation to movement. And then through my pelvic floor physical therapist at my clinic, was really able to understand how to create this environment for change in the pelvic floor, which included, like you said, you know, breathing and body position and blood flow, which really was what I thought was the missing piece to this puzzle.
No, that's so, I love hearing people's journey, and, you know, you're just right on your path. And, you know, I see a lot of, you know, patients, I see a lot of women, of course I see men too, but you know, their pelvic floor issues can be from, you know, endometriosis to ovarian cysts to low hormones that can affect bladder health or intercourse, or even, you know, interstitial cystitis or UTIs. I mean, there's like so many, you know, pelvic floor issues. And, you know, yes, there's some gifted pelvic floor PTs in, you know, different communities. I see people from all over. And, you know, I'm always struggle with like, what can they do at home? You know, like how can they really like, you know, create change and create, you know, the desired results? Because it's not just going to be a supplement that gets them, you know, better with it, such a structural issue. So all this experience and this knowledge, I want to hear how you developed the Couch Ball.
Yeah. Okay. So when I started to, you know, teach more pelvic floor concepts in my classes, what I started noticing, first of all, was a really weird energy would enter into the room. Like these clients who came to know, love, and trust me, all of a sudden they wouldn't make eye contact with me. You know, it was like crickets. No one would ask questions when we would get to pelvic floor, you know, movements. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, why are we so muted about this part of our body? And I learned that the pudendal nerve, which is the main nerve, it's a motor nerve, it's a sensory nerve, right? That goes from the brain to the pelvic floor into the genitals. Yeah. When I learned, Dr. Christine, that the Latin root of the word pudendal means an area of ashamedness, I was like, oh my gosh, this is why a woman would rather sneak down the incontinence product aisle. Because did you know that the incontinence product industry is a $21 billion industry? And it is not a solution, right? Would you agree that wearing a pad doesn't get to the root cause? So women would rather choose that than have the conversation with someone like you or someone like me to understand, is there something more that I can do, right? We've been conditioned to do Kegels. So we Kegel all the time, where 70% of us actually have a hypertonic pelvic floor. There's too much tension already. And now we are like visualizing stopping the flow of urine and starting the flow of urine. And all that's doing is exacerbating that tension in those muscles. So we cough and sneeze and laugh and pee a little bit. And we think, I got to Kegel more. It's still not working.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wanted to find a tool that I could use in my studio that my clients could take with them. And I knew from all my Pilates training that muscle, fascia, you know, ligamental, like tissue of ligaments and of tendons. Like a plant needs sunlight and water to flourish. Those tissues in our body, they absolutely require oxygen-rich, nutrient-rich blood. And so my challenge became, through movement and Pilates, I could teach how to access the diaphragm as the main muscle of respiration. I could teach spinal alignment, and I could, you know, I could teach those concepts, but I was like, how do I get blood flow to that area? And so I can remember like straddling foam rollers. Our boys were younger then. So I remember calling and racing downstairs, and we sat on mini basketballs and floor hockey balls and like the three bears. Some were too hard and some were too soft. And I was like, I need to create, the entrepreneur in me came out, and I was like, there's a problem here. Let's find a solution. And so that's what I did. And I knew I wanted it to be about a 5-inch diameter ball, because the angle of the bones of the pelvis, that really was like a best fit for women and for men. And I also understood that I needed something that, when the weight of the body, like, so you basically sit on the ball, right, on the perineum between the pubic bone and the anus, but a ball that's too hard will trigger the sympathetic nervous system, right? We're going to go into fight, flight. We're going to protect. We're going to guard, which is not what I was looking for. On the other hand, if it was too soft, it didn't create that fascial response of, you know, interacting with that, you know, when fascia is unhealthy, it's like a boa constrictor snake that wraps around every muscle fiber we have and literally restricts or chokes those muscle fibers. So there had to be enough, but not too much of the good stuff, so that we could get that environment for change, which is oxygen rich, nutrient rich blood. And so literally the cooch ball was born out of necessity. And, you know, my husband is a scientist, so he has, you know, some patents to his name. And this was the first time I was like, oh my goodness, I filed a patent, and I'm going to be able to help, you know, what I hope to be millions of women and men around this planet, because it truly is the lack of blood flow that minimizes the function, right? Muscles need to work and rest. And when they're working too much, they're dysfunctional. And when they're resting too much, they're dysfunctional. So where is that middle line of function? And that's what the cooch ball helps to create.
Yeah, no, I love it. And you know, I've been really, you know, I focus on the lymphatics, but I focus on many things, but that's definitely an area of interest. But upstream is the blood, right? And so, you know, we can't have healthy lymph if we have, you know, stagnant, sticky, you know, very trapped microcirculation or blood, right? And so, and right now it's even more of an issue just with a lot of the terrain insults that are just creating more lack of blood flow, more lack of oxygen. And, you know, that's really the beginning of disease, right? When we have areas of hypoxia and stagnation and congestion in the body. So I love the, you know, elegance of what you're, you know, what you're trying to treat. So do you have a cooch ball in front of you? Yeah. Do you want to share with the audience? So yeah, great. So
this is it. This is as simple as it is. What you don't see. So essentially the cooch ball is a part of a system, right? It's the pelvic floor confidence system. And so this isn't meant to be a DIY experience, because there are intricacies. So, you know, the videos that come along really give, you know, my women the confidence to blow the ball up properly, because there is a bit of you want to have a little bit of dynamicness to it. If you blow it up like a rock, it's not that it's unsafe. It just may not be as impactful, because you're going to create this major ouch factor when the bot, you know, when your perineum is on something that's really hard, your brain's going to be like, get off of this, like right now. So the system basically takes you through how to blow up the ball, how to properly breathe on the ball, how to visualize that, you know, that rising and falling. What a lot of women don't realize, and it's almost like a backwards way of breathing. So from a pelvic floor perspective, when we inhale that cleansing breath, like we're smelling a fresh baked apple pie that just came out of the oven, when we inhale, our lungs fill with air. So the diaphragm, which is the main muscle of respiration that kind of sits right here like a dome or like an open umbrella or mushroom cap in the rib cage, when the lungs fill on the inhale, the diaphragm kind of ducks out of the way because there's no room for it. And because the diaphragm is like the ceiling of the core and the pelvic floor is the floor is going to follow the ceiling. So when the ceiling is descending, getting out of the way of the lungs, the pelvic floor is going to be descending and going into its state of relaxation. If you were sitting on the toilet, that is when the flow of urine would start. On the other hand, when you're exhaling, think of that belly button coming toward your spine, very much like we teach in Pilates, the lungs empty. There's now space for the diaphragm to ascend, right? So it's going to come back to where it lives. And the pelvic floor is going to contract. So as the diaphragm expands and lifts, the pelvic floor follows, but it's contracting, all right? So there's this beautiful following of the diaphragm and the pelvic floor together. And so a lot of women, I mean, we're taught, do you remember the day? I remember the days being in high school, laying on my bed with a coat hanger, zipping up my acid wash jeans so they could be as tight as possible, right?
Yeah. I remember those
days. Right. Yeah. And so what we do, and now there are those fancy waist trainers, but clothing can really impact. It's like the interabdominal pressure, right? It's like when there's a storm outside and there's two pressure systems that collide, that's what's essentially happening in our body. And so a lot of pelvic floor dysfunction can occur unbeknownst to us because we are taking away space with our clothing or because we've taught our body to breathe into these little tiny muscles in our neck, the scalenes and sternocleidomastoids, and we've lost that baby belly breathing, right? Which is so impactful. Yeah. And so what I like to explain is when you start to use your diaphragm again, you know, breathing 8 to 10 times, 3 times a day like that, it literally is like giving CPR to your pelvic floor. You're going to wake her up simply by learning how to breathe properly.
Wow. Well, when you're talking about the connection between the diaphragm and the pelvic floor, I think a lot of us think like it's kind of a paradoxical in how we are taught to breathe in the sense we think everything goes, you know, up instead of down on the inhale, and, you know, and so that right alone, I think needs a lot of retraining.
Well, it does. You know, and when you think about your when you talked about the lymph, like unlike our blood that has a heart to pump it, our lymph doesn't have that, right? So if you want to talk about upstream and getting into that lymphatic, you know, that system, and that's why I love, you know, the Cooch Ball truly is, it's not just a one-trick pony. So we're going to talk at the end of our conversation about, you know, this gift that I would love to give your community, but, you know, using this for lymphatic mobilization and breast health, right? Using it in through the groin where there's those high degrees of lymph tissue and nodes, the back of the knee is a really another place, right? So it really can become a simple tool that when you're relaxing at night, watching your Netflix series, like my husband and I will get on our mats literally every night in front of the TV. And before you know it, half an hour has gone by. I've done my pelvic floor, my breast health. I've been laying on it on my neck. I work my, you know, my digestive system, and it's just really finding ways to stack this gift to your body.
Yeah, no, I love that you guys do that together and, you know, make it part of your routine. And, you know, when we think about kind of areas that are more prone to stagnation, you know, the neck, as you mentioned, I work a lot on the cervical lymph nodes because of, you know, the drainage in the brain and the nervous system. Sure. And then the axilla, right? And then even the thoracic duct and the right lymphatic duct, right? And then the cisternocleidomastoid, right? Where the lymphatic system drains from the lower part of the body to the thoracic duct. And then so many digestive issues, right? What if people have like bloating, constipation? What do you tend to see?
Totally. Well, and that's exactly what I see. I see, you know, GI distress, like bloating and constipation and even things like cold, tingly feet, right? Because there is a decrease of blood flow to the legs as well. And so unlike, you know, frequency or urge incontinence or pain during intercourse, which people kind of can draw a line from pelvic floor to pain point, bloating and constipation are not often thought of as a pelvic floor, you know, rooted issue. But when you think about, especially women who are hypertonic, who tend to be And, you know, there's the physical aspect of the pelvic floor, but there's also this, I mean, it's this beautiful magic cauldron. So there is emotionality to it. There is an energetic to it. And when you start to layer all of that, it is a very sacred area that is sometimes overprotected because of past traumas. And you don't even realize you're holding, but you're holding. Yeah. Like I had a friend say to me a few weeks ago, I met her in New York City for an event, gifted her a cooch ball. And she said to me a few weeks ago, she said, you know what, Jana, I didn't realize that I was supposed to sit on the toilet and the flow of urine is supposed to start like within 1 or 2 seconds. She said, I didn't realize that I would sit on the toilet and it was probably like 10 Mississippis or 12 Mississippis before I would actually relax enough to allow the flow of urine to begin. And she's like, I didn't even realize that was happening.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. No, I've heard patients who've gone to pelvic floor therapy, like have trigger points in the muscles of, you know, when people go to pelvic PT, sometimes there'll be basically intravaginal work that can help, you know, release trigger points and these muscles that they had no idea that they were holding that much tension. And, you know,
I love that you said that because when I remember about 2 winters ago, I had quite a bad cold and I went to see my pelvic floor physical therapist because I try and make that a regular thing in my yearly checkups and check-ins. And so she did her internal exam and she said to me, Jana, you have a grade 1 prolapse. And I was like, how does the cooch ball girl have a prolapse, right? And she explained to me, you know, she released a few trigger points that of course you can't feel, unlike, you know, a trigger point in your shoulder, you know, you can feel that tightness. And basically what she explained was after 2 weeks of coughing so incessantly, you know, you think about when you cough, you can just feel everything tighten up underneath you. So that over and over and over, you know, activation caused, you know, this grade 1 prolapse. And so, you know, I did my cooch ball. She gave me some extra exercises. I went back, you know, 2 months later and it was fine.
Oh, good.
But you don't need to be, you know, a woman in her 70s to think that this can't be happening to you because it can happen, you know, very easily to any of us.
Yeah, absolutely. What about like all the postpartum, like post baby? I mean, everybody has such a different experience, but just the fact of having a baby in your body can affect and coming out in whatever way it's going to come out can have a dramatic effect on your pelvic floor. What kind of things do you suggest for the, you know, even like postpartum healing, like even 10 years after and people haven't really dealt with it?
Well, and that's just it, right? It's one of those things that you don't know what you don't know. Right. And that's what I see with a lot of my moms. It'll say like, you know, my baby is 13 years old and I still can't go and jump on the trampoline with them because I leak a little bit. And so again, like, I just feel like Kegels truly have done, you know, us a bit of a disservice because we defer to that form of exercise, I guess, even immediately after childbirth. Like, I don't think anyone's going to want to sit on a cooch ball, you know, post baby. But even just that diaphragmatic breathing that we talked about, like the ability to understand that your pelvic floor is like this dynamic, you know, kind of jellyfish elevator that's moving up and down. Even just that can really start the healing process because it reminds the body that there are these 14 muscles in 3 layers that are connected, you know, interconnected and then connected to the bones of the pelvis. And the sooner we can even just acknowledge that they are there through, again, and I wish breathing sometimes wasn't so simple because it gets discounted. We think, how can breathing be so impactful? But it truly is. When we breathe diaphragmatically, right, we're taking in 600% more oxygen. We're helping with brain fog. We are nurturing the parasympathetic nervous system. Like, there's just so much going on. And that really is my message to new moms. It's just, as it is, there is such a heightened awareness of, I'm a mom. I have this baby. This baby is relying on me. What if I make a mistake? Right? So there's usually a lot of cortisol and adrenaline. And so the ability to like, love on that body and, you know, acknowledge what the pelvic floor has gone through. I mean, we are meant to heal and we are meant to have more babies. We just really, when we have a little bit of extra education and can be inspired to do these things, like, did you know when we're standing, 60% of our weight should be in our heel, that big calcaneus bone in our foot, 40% should be across the metatarsals, which are those little knuckles that the toes connect into the main part of our foot. When you understand the biomechanics of your body and you can have 60% of your weight in your heels, 40% across the widest part of your foot, even that simple postural hack is supporting what the pelvic floor is doing. Simply because most of us live with about 80% of our weight in our toes, which chronically turns on our quads, our psoas, turns off our glutes and hamstrings, creates this stress and tension in the lumbar spine. And now we have like this snowball rolling downhill that just is causing more and more discomfort. So it's those simple things like the breathing and the posture that really can positively impact a new mom's existence, really.
I love that. On the flip side, what about fertility? There's a lot of people who have fertility, you know, issues these days, and you know, our fertility is, you know, declining for lots of reasons. But have you seen this kind of philosophy impact fertility?
You know, I have. The one thing that I have seen, well, I can tell, actually, I'll answer your question in a story. So I started seeing a young woman at my Pilates studio. She was a Highland dancer for, you know, had been a Highland dancer for 20 years. So like the river dance, really, you know, quick feet, very stable upper body. And she was newly married. And in her first interaction with me, like less than 5 minutes in, she broke down in tears. And she said to me, Jana, I don't think I'm going to survive my marriage, because at this point, they were married like maybe 6 months at that point. And she said, every Wednesday, and her words, I let my husband buck. Those were her words to me. And I have so much pain in my body that on Monday, I start to get nauseous. I don't sleep well because I know the pain I'm going to experience on Wednesday night when I give myself to my husband, right? And, you know, it was, she wanted to be a mom, but she didn't, you know, she said he deserves someone that can love him, right? Like she was just giving all of herself. Anyways, you know what, we started working on her breath. First of all, I got her on a Pilates reformer. We started just to work on rhythmic movement and alignment. And of course, as a 20 plus year Highland dancer, she learned how to create this aesthetic in her body where she locked her entire pelvic floor down, right? There was like no movement there to allow the legs to do all that amazing work that they do. The cooch ball, she maybe like, even with a little bit of dynamicness, like 10 seconds was all she could manage before she was like, that's enough for today. And it was probably about 8 weeks. And I saw her a couple times a week, but about 8 weeks into our experience together, she told me that the Wednesday, you know, Wednesday had passed, and she said, I enjoyed sex with him. There was less pain. I felt more connected to him, right? So she started to experience that change. And, you know, probably about 6 months after that, she was pregnant with her first baby. It is such a great story, because, you know, that young woman may have believed that she pulled the short straw in the fertility game, and being a mom was not in the cards for her. And it was just her body's way of, and I'm not saying it's because of her Highland dancing, but I mean, and it doesn't have to be Highland dancing, fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. There is, you know, the body can get locked down pretty quickly. And then it can, like you said, I mean, inflammation is the precursor to all sorts of dis-ease. And so that's my story.
That's a great illustration. And again, you know, restoring, you know, blood flow and breath and oxygen and just kind of allowing the body to kind of activate that nervous system to like relax and, you know, allow the healing that needed to take place. No, that's beautiful.
Well, you know, she did say like she felt like she fell in love with herself, right? Like, oh. I think she was so, her body, she hated being in her body because she felt like it was failing not only her, but, you know, her husband and the ability of her, for her to get pregnant and have a baby. So, you know, our mindset is very, very powerful.
Oh, totally, totally. And just activating, you know, that chakra and that area of the body and tuning into just emotions that you can be totally disconnected to your whole life if you don't, you know, bring energy and healing there. What about scar tissue? Like scar tissue, do you have any advice? You know, that's a big area of interest of mine is with neural therapy that I do and just seeing the impact of how scar tissue can just really, you know, create stagnation in the body.
Yeah. I think that one of the ways that I love to use the Cooch Ball most, I was working with a younger man and he had scar tissue from an inguinal hernia, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And was also dealing with some erectile dysfunction. And I actually just read a study a few months ago that it was a study out of Japan that was able to show a correlation between stride length in men and, mm-hmm. and erectile dysfunction. So oh, wow. The men that had a shorter stride length were more apt to have erectile dysfunction simply because of the function of the psoas, unable to get the hip into an extended position, right? So, oh, wow. I mean, whether scar, you know, that scar tissue, you know, I had a young woman who had an episiotomy when she was delivering and had, you know, had some scarring. And so mm-hmm. there usually is a little bit of, again, guarding or protecting first because it just, it feels weird, right? And so I tend to, you know, encourage people to work around the scar first or yeah, around the cyst. I just had a woman that reached out to me and said that she was going to go get surgery to remove like a bean sized cyst on the just right on the inside of the vaginal wall. And she said, you know, about six weeks of using her Cooch Ball every single day, the cyst had, you know, corrected itself. The body had reabsorbed it and it was gone. Right. So that's what I mean. Like it's not magic. The body is meant to heal.
Right. Absolutely.
No. And I find when you can improve blood flow, and like you said, when you can get the lymph that, you know, the body's natural garbage disposal system to be working efficiently, it can, mm-hmm. you know, it really can work wonders around scars and cysts and situations like that.
Awesome. No, I have no doubt. And no, this is so fun learning more about your incredible system and just, you know, all the anecdotes and the people you've helped and, you know, your journey. And I'm sure people are totally excited and interested about how they can learn more for their own health. And, you know, my, you know, goal, not only in getting to know you better and learning about your brilliant work, but, you know, I'm just always looking for more home tools for people because it's just healing, you know, like the healing circuit that they need at home. The more that you can do at home, I feel like that's where we really, you know, move the needles. So tell us where people can find out more and how to just get started.
Yeah. So, I mean, on any of the platforms, at the Cooch Ball is where you can find me. I answer all my own DMs. And so I know sometimes, you know, people don't like to post publicly about a question they might have about their health. So you can absolutely, you know, reach out to me that way. And, you know, Dr. Christine, we were talking before we went live is that I know you'll have a link in your show notes, but what I want to offer your community is, so the Cooch Ball comes pretty self, you know, self-contained, you know, the system, the pelvic floor confidence system, that's really what it is, whether it's, you know, urge incontinence or frequency or pain during intercourse. You know, I had a woman say to me that her chiropractor can't believe she's been using her Cooch Ball for 3 months and her hips are finally stable. She's got a very bad scoliosis. And so now her chiro is able to work in a different way on her spine. And so this, you know, learning how to feel the ball, get on the ball, breathe on the ball is all part of this system. And then, of course, what I would love to do so that everybody in your community understands just how brilliant their body is and to have confidence in their body, I want to gift a 3-part series that I call the Cooch Fix Pack Mini. And what that will do is give them an opportunity to spend some time with me when it's convenient, because it's a recorded course, but we spend 30 minutes together using the Cooch Ball for upper body wellness, lymphatic, you know, mobility and blood flow. So there's a whole breast health sequence. There's a sequence for the neck. There's a little sequence even for anti-aging, with including the TMJ. Yep. Then there's another 30-minute experience together where we focus on the psoas muscle, right? That really, because if we sit for any length of time during the day, or if we are a side sleeper with knees bent, that essentially is a seated position through the night. The psoas becomes like beef jerky instead of that, you know, filet mignon. So we're going to, I'm going to show you how the Cooch Ball can bring vitality back to that part of your body, because in most cases, low back pain starts from the front body with the psoas. We're going to do some work with the calf muscle, which we call the secondary heart muscle. So those people that deal with plantar fasciitis or any, you know, cold, tingly feet, you're going to love that sequence. And then the third movement session together is all about gut health. So it's going to, we're going to get into, you know, the ascending, transverse, descending colon. You're going to poop better. You're going to have less bloating. You know, you just be able to really notice a difference. And so I am so grateful for this opportunity to come and share with your audience, your community, and, you know, your loyal followers, that I'm so happy to give that extra little gift.
Oh, that's incredible, because that's going to really get like a whole body, you know, system. So no, I'm so grateful for that as well. And I'm excited, you know, to get started myself. I want to, you know, start practicing this more at home. And I'm so grateful for your time today, Janin. It's so lovely to get to know you and just hear, you know, what you've created and the lives you're changing. And I'm just, yeah, grateful to get to know you more. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You are so welcome.
Thank you all for listening to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I hope you enjoyed my conversation today with Janin Danielson. And please check out the link in the show notes so you can get access to her courses, so you can get started with better blood flow and better breathing and oxygen and body posture, so that you can allow your body to do the healing work it knows wisely how to do. I am so grateful for you being part of my podcast community, and I hope you have a beautiful day. Bye.